What's up, guys? This is Matt with Icon Meals. Just wanted to do a little house cleaning. Subscribe, guys. Subscribe. Check out the podcast on iTunes and listen. If you like our message is real simple. It's bringing you content from top people in the industry. So, or not just the fitness industry, but just business in general. You know what I mean? And I got some great insight today. I've got a great guest here with us. Got Greg McCoy, serial gym owner, right?
Yeah.
And Need for Speed addict, if you will. So, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing great. Thank you guys for having me today.
Absolutely. And of course, we've got Todd Abrams over here.
How you doing, Todd?
So, Todd, I want you to kick it off for me because my voice is a little shot today.
Yeah, it sounds like you've been working those vocal cords a little bit too much. So. But yeah, pleasure to have Greg here today. He's a good friend, known Greg for a long time, and thought you could cast some of your expertise and experience into our listeners. But just as we were sort of mentioning off
prior to coming on today, just I've known you now for, I've been down here 20 years, so it's almost been that long, but I guess when I'm a little bit older than you, so it's like you're probably freaking what, 10 back then, but from those days, just the early days, right, coming in, and really the landscape I don't think necessarily was the same, not just in Dallas, but in general in the sort of fitness industry. You being early on coming in, and I saw like your pictures of a bodybuilding grown up, going into, I guess, one of the first, like we just mentioned, if not the first, with Ron on the old Metroflex, owning your gym. So you've had that business ownership really growing up. I don't think you've ever worked for anyone, right? So it's really...
No.
Yeah, so it's just entrepreneurial, true essence of entrepreneurial, learning probably a lot of lessons along the way, but just some of the things to touch
on. Trial by fire, baby.
Trial by fire, right? It sounds like from some of the stories you told us, you've been thrown in a lot of those fires. So
yeah.
It's that sustainability and persistence has got you a long way. But just first off, congrats on where you are today. You've sort of driven your own path. You paved a lot, I think, different roads, not only in the bodybuilding scene on the NPC and stuff, but really, I think, probably set a lot of the standards for what I'd call one of probably the best two gyms in Dallas today, really. I look at its current destination, as I'll call it, sort of the Mecca in Texas, South, whatever you want to say that way. But what I wanted to get was a little bit of insight, really. What, I guess, drives you, right, to do what you do? Because coming in, you had, obviously, a trainer. You've been a coach. And we'll talk about that in a second because it's really sort of come full circle back around, right? But how did you get started in the industry? And what led you to get in with Ron on the actual gym? I know your dad's been fairly involved with you guys, your partners, business partners. And sort of... we can transition, I guess, from there going into you've been event promoter, not only NPC, right, but doing your own events. You're now doing your own events again. Talking about then, you've been also, what people might not know about you is being involved with Gas Better Bodies. You've been one of the senior executives there, not only here, but you've been, I'll call it world traveler, right? Really, your business has been divided between the U.S. and overseas and in Sweden and different things. So you've done a lot in a short period of time. And just want to get those insights. So really, what led Greg McCoy to come into this industry? Obviously, a passion for fitness, but how'd you get started?
Yeah, that's it's been, Tana calls me an old soul because I've had a number of experience for my age, for sure. You know, I started like most people. I mean, I found my way into the gym and loved it at a young age. I always tell the story that my dad lied about my age to get me my first gym membership. So that was it. I grew up playing sports, and I always loved, I actually kind of realized in high school, you know what, I actually like training for sports more than I like the actual sports. So that was, you know, everything that I've done has always been fueled by my passion for training. You know, and there's one of my favorite quotes, you know, that you kind of realize why you did what you did in hindsight in life, but one of my favorite quotes is, make sure I don't mess it up, but your vocation in life is where your passion meets people's greatest needs. And you know, the world's not the fittest place, and it's getting worse despite more that we know. So you know, that's always, you know, it's a rewarding field to be in, helping people get fit, even at the top levels of, you know, bodybuilding, where we're not necessarily aiming for changing the world by health, but it, you know, you learn the lessons that are applicable to anybody. So yeah, so to make a long story shorter, I guess, you know, I always wanted to own the gym. That was kind of my that was the goal since, you know, when I started it. I went to Oklahoma State, and literally, you know, I didn't know what kind of gym, or, you know, I kind of used that period of school to figure it out. Mm-hmm. Every class project that I did was like, you know, what about this kind of gym or that kind of gym or blah, blah, blah. So I used my time at Oklahoma State to prep for that gym. That's what the first one was. I was the first Metroflex gym outside of, Brian Dobson is the owner. So, I grew up in Arlington, and that's where the original Metroflex is. So, that's, you know, Brian and I got to talking, and he wanted to try it. And, you know, I was, probably a good mix of naive and, brave and bit off more than I could chew and chewed it anyways.
That's a huge brand to tie your name to. I mean, here in Texas, at least, everybody, at least in the bodybuilding industry, has been at some point to a Metroflex gym, it feels like.
So. Yeah, it's legendary. So, you know, it's, you know, my kind of what I did, and you can see evidence in this, obviously, and, you know, 10 years later now with how Destinations evolved. But, you know, my dream, it was, you know, pretty simple. Mm-hmm. I loved that we had a great Gold's Gym in Arlington. A lot of guys that you guys would know from the industry would train there. And they had awesome equipment. Even some of the equipment now in Destination is from that Gold's Gym, because when they went out of business, I went and bought all my favorite stuff that I used to train on. But anyways, so I actually, you know, I loved that Gold's Gym, but then I'd go to Metroflex because the environment is just, you know, off the charts.
Right.
And I was like, man, somebody just needs to smash these two together. Like, the equipment of, like, at Metroflex, you know, love the place to death, but you pick what machines work, not what you want to use.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you know, really just what can I do in here versus, like, going in with a plan. So, you know, that was always the goal, was to take the environment of Metroflex and, you know, give it the functionality of the Golds that I loved.
It's awesome.
What spurred that transition from going from Metroflex to Destination?
Yeah, a lot of things. So, you know, as Metroflex, I was a licensed, and being one of the early ones, I had a lot of people, you know, that saw the success we were having come by, and they're like, oh, I want one of these.
Yeah.
You know, and then I would see them go buy a license, and I was like, yeah, this maybe isn't the best scenario for me not owning the brand. You know, just decided it was not an easy decision, but you know, that I just wanted to start, you know, my own name. And at that time was when Gaston Better Bodies was moving to the U.S. so, you know, we partnered together and came up with the whole Destination concept.
It's genius. In my opinion, the marketing that you guys were able to do there is sky high.
Yeah, thank you.
In the industry, so it was very cool.
Yeah, I think it ties back to, too, what you said in your goal in regards to health and different things, right? I think the concept, and I've known Michael and you, but talking through and just seeing the concept of Destination being that sort of one-stop shop or one-stop resource for everything. I know you haven't completely finished the original plan, let's say, on Rolaid, right?
Yeah.
But I think to a certain point, you guys, over those 10 years, have really evolved in different things and built Destination to be well-known, and I'm sure there's a lot more left in that, but the concepts, it is brilliant. And so I think you played a big part in that, in the marketing and different things. Talk a little bit about sort of the involvement with Gast, right? When they sort of came in Better Bodies and you partnered with Michael, you sort of, for a little while, got out of your training roots, right?
Yeah.
And really went into that, I don't know if it was sort of by force or whatever you chose to, but into that you migrated into sort of a business executive role. And I don't know if that was your background in school and stuff, or is that sort of how you fell into it, or?
No, you know, I got a degree in marketing, and I've always loved that part of the business. Nothing about, you know, I'm not one of those gym owners that's, like, really into fixing his equipment, and, like, you know, that's a lot of gym owners, that's what they love. You know, they love to tinker on the machines, and, you know, that's not me. I'd rather pay a service company monthly to just, so I don't think about it. You know, I always loved the marketing side of things. So yeah, when with the whole Gaston Better Bodies relationship, that all came together pretty organically. You know, I was their attraction to what I had going on was the community we had built. And if anyone that had been a part of the original Metroflex Plano knows, it wasn't a special facility. I mean, it was in the only place I could afford, which was, you know, no air conditioned you know, used to be an old auto body shop.
Bullet trap.
Yeah, it was backed up by a gun range, so you just hear constant gunfire all day.
Remember that.
But and that's kind of the beauty of the Metroflex thing is you can kind of romanticize the how bad it is, but we needed to grow up eventually. So the magic sauce there wasn't the location, it wasn't the paintings on the wall. I mean, it was the people, and
it was the culture.
Yeah, and we had and at that time there wasn't really other niche gyms in Dallas. It was kind of big box gyms or Strouds.
Yeah.
So we really just got anyone and everyone had been there, or would come there on the weekends or whatever. So when Gasp and Better Bodies moved over, they wanted to be, they're a grassroots brand in Europe. They sponsor tons of athletes and they wanted to be grassroots and start here in Texas. So they're like, well, this is probably the most vibrant community that's going on. Let's attach to that. So that's how the partnership really came together.
Yeah.
And then, I just started to, I was running the gym and I started to kind of help out in the marketing team. And within a year or so was pretty high into the marketing team, and then it eventually led where the marketing director, she happened to go on maternity leave and kind of left me the keys. And I had to learn a lot really fast through that. But yeah, that was cool, because I got to, work on global strategy and, it takes almost a year to bring products to market. So doing all the market research and working on product development and how that fits the branding and all that stuff became really interesting. And that was really I had love for Destination, and the best way to help Destination was to help Gasp and Better Bodies grow, because that was the marketing support that we could bring from those two companies into Destination was really what took it to a new level.
Well, I love that you brought up community, because part of, and you can throw some advice out there to some guys. You said niche gyms are the thing right now, right? Part of what made CrossFit so big was the community that they were building around each one of their little boxes that they were building.
That's the magic ingredient of CrossFit. Yeah. It's not the workouts. I'm nothing against the workouts, but the community is where they hit it.
Yeah. Like, I think it was a Starbucks executive that wrote a book about how they don't sell coffee, they sell an experience.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But that's what Destination is as well, right?
Yeah,
to me, it's experience. And also, I have to give props here to Gasp Better Bodies where it's due. Like, for those guys and you and the brand in general to be selling shirts at $60-$80, right? That's unheard of. You have all these people that are trying to get $20 a t-shirt, right?
Yeah.
So from being a grassroots brand and really establishing that culture,
right. That's
the culture that I think that the people that wear the clothes and your athletes and your ambassadors and stuff have done a great job building that brand. I believe in Sweden they are the number one fitness brand.
Yeah, for sure. It's and gym clothing is way more of a thing. It's kind of new here. I mean, for the most part, when you walked into a gym maybe 10 years ago in the U.S., I mean, it's Nike, Under Armour, and free T-shirts.
Yeah.
There wasn't, no one bought, like, gym clothes.
Yeah.
So I credit them for starting that. And now, there's tons of gym brands, Live Fit and Built and all these, and they're really cool brands. So I think it's really good for the fitness.
But I think going back to that, just to what you guys mentioned on community and culture,
Each
one of those brands, right? Like Randall built an absolutely incredible brand with Live Fit, but that goes back to community, right?
Sure.
There's a certain type and individual, and you've heard him say, hey, I don't create anything that I wouldn't wear. I want to see myself. And I think that goes back to his direct influence in those communities, right? So from every single different brand that's being built, I think that culture is key. And I think that just, it's a great, I'll call it synergy between Destination and then the brands that are tied in there. Mm-hmm. So
right. So then I guess my going back, my question was, for those that are trying to start a niche gym, you know what I mean? Like, what kind of advice might you have for those guys?
Everybody's dream, and it's
but everybody's dream that I guess I'll ask your two cents as well.
Sure.
I don't think it's the most profitable enterprise to get into. If someone's looking to spend every last dime they have to start a business, suggestions on going into a niche gym?
It's really, really difficult to become wealthy as a gym owner.
I will say that for sure.
And the more I've learned, I guess, what I tell people, because I've had this talk a few times to some groups about this, but the more I've learned, the really good gyms that exist, they exist in kind of a Bermuda Triangle of, like, you know, of success. I mean, you know, the way I ran Metroflix Plano and even Destination in the beginning, you know, was very much like, this is a cash flow situation. I mean, we make this much each month. It's very, very budgeted. I mean, it was, you know, things were tight. The way that we, you know, really ramped it up was because of the partnerships that we made in the industry, Gaspin Better Bodies and some other situations. And that's really where a lot of you see these facilities pop up that really have more going on than selling memberships and training.
So there's
a lot of special situations. So you can't, like, if you're going to start a niche gym, you can't necessarily compare everything apples to apples, because most of them have other business going on in the background that you probably don't realize.
Yeah, it's like perception's not always reality.
No,
right?
So you're usually looking at the tip of the iceberg, yeah. And the, you know, that's where a gym popped out of it. But I do think the timing is really good. Just the way I like to compare gym business to the restaurant industry.
There you go.
You know, everyone, it's much cooler and more sought after nowadays to have like a restaurant experience with someone somewhere unique. You know, to eat somewhere, and it's, you know, they promote local grown, and like the kind of like Chili's days, I think, are past us, where you go to the same restaurant in every town you go to.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the same with gyms. Like, people now, they want an experience. They don't want to go where, you know, their grandparents, the same gym that their grandparents go to, their parents go to, and their little kids are in the thing. Like, they're a unique person,
right?
And they want the gym to match them.
Yeah.
And they have share identity with that place.
That's good.
So I think it's a really good time. You know, it's always going to be hard, but it's better than ever. People are looking for specialized gyms.
So coming almost full circle, I guess I think you made it known. I've seen your video and stuff, and everyone pretty much knows that sort of your parting ways, or you've left.
Yep.
With Gas Better Body, I think you've resigned that role, and gone back to, I'll call it, your roots, right? It's really me and you talking to what you love, going back to bettering people's health and enjoying the interaction. And so going back to your training, right? What led that to occur? And I know when we talked, you said, hey man, this international travel for me, I had to make a decision, but that's not necessarily what I want. And some people, I think, look at that and go, holy crap, like, you might have had that their dream job, right?
Yeah.
I know what it's like being on plane 200 days a week, so not necessarily for me, but what put Greg back into the training environment?
Sure.
And into
I will never ever complain. Like, of course, you know, I'm going back to what makes me the happiest, so I'll never ever complain, but the travel stuff is really hard.
Yeah.
And it wears on you, and it's, you know, it's funny because you feel like such a dick, but people are like, oh, living the dream, and you're just like, can barely keep your eyes open, and you just want like routine back.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, yeah, this isn't what I dreamed about. I'm kind of hurting.
But
of course, you know, my favorite part of the whole those whole few years there was personal growth. I mean, I was really uncomfortable in the best kind of way.
Yeah.
You know, so it forces you to learn. And I love, I think a really interesting topic is business and culture and how different cultures do business. So I was able to learn a lot there. But yeah, anyways, back to, you know, I was just kind of unsettled in my work. I mean, I was working hard, and it wasn't that I disliked what I was working on, and surely not that I disliked who I was working with. You know, so in all logical ways, I was happy, but there was just something inside of me that's like, you know, this isn't right.
Yeah.
And it probably took, you know, 6 months to a year to kind of really realize, like, hey, look, you know, I think, I don't know who said it or whatever, but what I used to always just tell myself is like, man, this is your story. You have the pen.
Yeah.
Like, don't, if you're not happy, then just write something different, you know? So I was like, you know, I'm just going to go for it. It's something in my heart is telling me that it's time to go back to what makes you the happiest. And I don't have to do this. I can be successful on my own. So, you know, hang it up and do something different.
Yeah, well, you've really, I think, fast-tracked as well. From what I've seen, you've got your clientele back. You've got I see different marketing pieces for you coming out. I see you've got your app coming out.
Yeah.
So you've obviously been working and putting a lot of effort into what you're doing. Also getting back into what I've seen you do in the past with different places. Like, so your event promoting, you have a seminar coming up with Mountain Dog.
Yep.
And so again, getting back to those roots, but again, it's what makes you happy. So I guess, what's sort of next for you? And talk a little bit about sort of what people probably don't know about Greg, right? Like, I've known you, and if you watch Greg, some of his Facebook and IG, you have to turn away sometimes because you'll see him on a friggin' street bike going 200 miles an hour around a circuit. And to me, that's somewhat crazy, but like, those are obviously things that keep you going, right? Keep you pushing ahead. And you always like to sort of push that needle. So really touch on what got you into that, and then also really where you are today. What do you see as next for Greg?
Yeah, I mean, the training is certainly what I love, and I just kind of took the parts of what I've been doing the last 10 years and picked all my favorites, and I try to make a life out of that. So I did, you know, I was, the kind of peak of my personal training business was in 2012, before, you know, as Destination was being built. And, you know, I kind of had to build it just out of necessity on volume. And I don't, you know, I want to get back to training, but not in a volume model. So, you know, I want to have genuine relationships with my clients and keep it small, so that I know what's up with them. It's not weird for me to call them and know what they've been up to or what's been going on with them. So I just want to keep my training business as like as intimate, but still, you know, provide the return that I need. And then the event management stuff, I mean, I love to throw parties and I love to spread education. So I truly believe Mountain Dog's one of the best resources in our industry for muscle building and diet and keeping bodybuilders healthy. And he's done, you know, a small seminar in Dallas once, but for the most part, you know, we haven't had him. So that was one of the first people I really wanted to get here.
Good.
To try to, you know, spread the word, because I really believe in what he's doing.
Yes, four people. When is that seminar? It's coming up.
Yeah, January 27th and 28th. So we've only got 16. Well, there was a total of 16 spaces. I think we were about half full. 16 spaces if you want to do the whole weekend. So you get an 8-hour seminar on Saturday, and then you get 8 hours with, you know, just you and those other 15 people and John at Destination. It's two. You're going to do two workouts, workout in the morning, eat and talk to John, and then workout in the afternoon. And we got some heavy hitters that have bought those spaces, so I think Sunday is going to be a freaking blast. I mean, we're going to be killing each other
That's
in
awesome.
There.
That's awesome.
So there's 8 valuable spots left, and it's $500, which I know isn't cheap, but, you know, what I've just been telling people is, like, pro bodybuilders that know 10 times more than you do and are depend on their success in training, they fly to John. They spend the travel costs and all that to go to him. And, you know, for $500 for 2 days, it's, you know, I think a lot of value.
Yeah, I wouldn't try to devalue that. I think $500 is not a lot for the experience and expertise that John Meadows brings. So from that standpoint, I think $500 is probably a real killer deal, right?
Yeah.
So from that standpoint, to unload that knowledge.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Looking forward to a great seminar there and, and seeing what he has. So what's really, like, what's next for you? What do you see yourself doing? Like, I know you're talking about your training business stuff. So is that growing? Do you have other things on the outskirts?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm honestly at this point, you know, I almost take, you know, this personal training and as an event promotion. I almost am thinking of this like a break for myself. I mean, I love both of them. Of course, I mean, I'll work hard, but to me, that kind of work is so fun that this is almost a downshift for me. So I just want to take a little bit of time, because I've owned the gym for, you know, close to 10 years now. I've had either business loan or a long-term lease or minimum, you know, 5 staff since I was 22 years old, and I don't want any of those for at least a year.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just do that and see where it leads. And then, you know, I've always, you know, as you know, Todd, you're an entrepreneurial-minded guy. I mean, you always have ideas.
Yeah.
So I will kind of see which seed I want to water. You know, when my energy is up and ready for it.
So what's Greg unwind with? Like I mentioned, on your bike and the need for speed, both your sort of enduro racing, right, in the past.
Yeah.
It looks like you love flying through the air and the mud and different things on enduro. But then also lately, I've seen you on the speed bike. At the track, right? 200 miles an hour, 160 miles an hour. So is that your way to unwind? Is that what you love doing? Any racing for you there or anything?
Yeah, man, I love that stuff. So I've certainly been in the gym for a long time, but I was on a motorcycle, you know, at the age of 2.
Wow.
I mean, my motorcycles really are in my blood. I mean, my grandparents were competitive hill climbers and rode motorcycles all around the country. My dad, the same. So I grew up on the trails and riding bikes, and so it's always something that's it's been a part of my life. I got my first bike when I was 8, so it's always been a part of me. But yeah, of course I overdo everything, so I want to take it to the next level. So I did some enduro racing, which I'm sure I'll do more of. Those are super fun. And the sport bike thing was just like, you see guys do it and you're just like, who the hell gets to do stuff like that, and I like to just find, you can find out that, that you don't have to be someone special to do that. You can just go sign up. Yeah. So that's exactly what I did, and the first time, man, I was hooked.
Yeah.
It is like living in a video game. And people think it's scary because of the speeds, but to be honest, I rode on the racetracks all the way through my last contest prep. I did not do the dirt bikes because I think the wear and tear from dirt bike injuries is the likelihood of getting hurt is way higher. You can't control that many variables on a motocross track. I mean, your tires are going everywhere. You're jumping over stuff. There's other people. There's just so much going on that the likelihood for something bad to happen is pretty high.
Yeah.
We're on the road course. It's very, very calculated. And unless you're, just overly aggressive and riding over your head, it's I hate to call it safe, but it's relatively safe.
Yeah, you control a lot of that. So.
Yeah.
What's your ride of choice? I have a cousin he races R1 bikes.
Okay.
And I think his motorcycle alone has like 37,000 followers on Instagram.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but what's your weapon of choice?
Yeah, I'm on a CBR 600. Yeah.
Fairbike CBR 900.
Yeah, it's pretty moderate. I wanted a 600 just because they're a little more manageable, but they'll still, they're still fast.
Yeah.
A lot of the guys, really like the 300s just because you get so good at corner speed and you have to keep your momentum up really high.
Wow.
So it's kind of funny when you get to the real racer guys, they gravitate towards the smaller bikes, for skill building. So the 600 to me was like a happy medium. Like the most annoying guys at the track are beginners on leader bikes.
Big bikes, yeah.
Yeah, because they freaking park it in the corners and you're like, you can't get around them because they're, and then they smoke you in the straightaway. So then you just catch them in the next corner and the pattern just follows around the whole track.
Wow. So you've been in this industry a long time.
Yeah.
Your better half is very involved in this industry, not only with Gas Better Bodies working on the marketing and I think for the photo shoots and all that, but also top level Olympia competitor on the Arnold stage again this year. I was probably here on the Olympia stage again this year. So I guess what would be the nuggets of information that someone that wants to or is just getting started in this industry, really, from let's say even a competitor level or a business, what would those key nuggets that Greg McCoy would tell someone, hey, new coming into this industry that is like you, right? Is they were excited about working out, they see this horizon, they see everything painted on, hey, I can be on this stage and I can do big things and own the gym. What would those nuggets be? How would someone get started today?
Man, there's so much opportunity. It's unreal. I mean, you can find a lot of different things to do in this industry. So I think it's just kind of like anything. I think you need to take inventory of what you're good at. You need to be able to provide value, either whether that's directly to customers, like if you were to start a brand or a company, you need to be able to provide value to customers, or if you're going to work for a company in the industry, you need to be able to provide value to that company. So, what are you good at and how can you apply that in the fitness industry? So, the fitness industry needs accountants and salespeople and marketers just like any other industry. So all those skills apply. But it's also, I think a great entrepreneurial space. I mean, I honestly think personal training is one of the coolest professions you can have. I mean, it can be very, very lucrative. I think it's really a really important job just because so many people need help. And so it's not anything to take lightly. I know a lot of, I always try to defend the personal trainer position, when I can, because, it's you can potentially, prevent more stuff than a doctor can can save.
Yeah.
So, I think it's a really a profession to take serious, and you can earn upwards to $100 an hour, which is borderline lawyer money with a certification. I mean, that's pretty incredible.
That's a
good point there, though, because it's the industry is very cutthroat, I feel like, at sometimes.
Yeah.
But you've got a lot of people who, and we go to these expos and stuff like that, you see so many people that are just starstruck by some of these online trainers and stuff
Yeah,
like
I think we've talked about this before. It goes back to now with everyone in this industry and the rise and fame of Instagram, right?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, everyone's an online trainer. And
It's a double-edged sword for sure. Like I was talking to Mark Madole about this on the Iron podcast. It's a double-edged sword. One, the negative side being you have a lot of unqualified people giving advice. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, that's like anything. That won't last. I mean, you screw over enough people stop giving you money. or if you're just bad at what you do, someone else is going to beat you. It's the market takes care of that. But what it is good for, quality trainers is people are now consuming training online, whereas they weren't. I mean, this has been so easy for me to get back into it. I mean, when I was online training prior to the existence of Instagram, you know, before I stopped training, you know, it was all via, you know, email and calls and stuff. And it was weird. And I would tell people, yeah, I have some clients in Canada. They're like, you never met them? Like, it was such a, you know, people didn't understand.
Yeah.
But now it's so common. Like, people are comfortable hiring someone remote. Mm-hmm. So it makes it, you know, I think the way people are used to consuming training online now, so it means a lot of opportunity. Awesome.
So where can people find Greg McCoy? Where can they find you on Instagram, Facebook, or on Twitter? You have a website?
Yeah, all of the above. Instagram is greg.w.mccoy. Website is gregmccoy.net. Okay. And then my training page on Facebook. I have a personal page, but it's like maxed out or whatever. Is Greg McCoy Training and Coaching on Facebook.
What where do they go sign up for the Mad Dog?
Yeah, the John Meadows seminar, it's mountaindogdallas.eventbrite.com. I've got the flyers and stuff. They're on my Facebook, John's Facebook. They're on Instagram. So, but the link is mountaindogdallas.eventbrite.com.
Awesome.
Well, I'd say congrats on, we like to bring people on here who I call sort of an iconic personality, done big things, not just talking the talk. And I'd say congrats on building your brand, not only for you personally, but I think Destination is a brand that'll far outlive you. And sort of the Gasp and Better Bodies experience, I think a big part of that you played. So congratulations on all those accomplishments to date. But I'm sure in the next 10 years, it'll be something totally different for Greg McCoy. So.
Yeah, no, thank you guys again for having me. And, you know, I always always happy to associate with Icon Meals. I'm, you know, proud of what you guys have, you know, built a really impressive machine in a short amount of time. And this is a hard business. I'm always impressed that you guys are able to pull it off.
Thank you, man.
I can't imagine having inventory that expired in a few days. Like, it's hard. It was hard enough with clothes. I can't imagine, you know, stuff that's got like it's a ticking time bomb.
Yeah.
But you guys do a great job, and the community that you're building, you know, I'll always always be a fan and supporter. So thank you guys for having me.
Awesome.
Appreciate it, man. Well, guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. Again, go follow Icon Meals. Go follow Greg. We'll catch up soon. Appreciate it, guys.